Everyone is looking for love. And they're desperate to find it. We must show them love. We must introduce them to love, to Jesus. To Jesus. For this is true revival. Love is all they need. Everlasting love. Rise up and go and show them love, revival love, supernatural love. Jesus is love. Welcome to Everlasting Love. My name's Patricia King, and I'm glad that you've joined me for today's program. I'm going to be sharing with you a message that I preached at the Women on the Frontlines World Convention in LA at Angelus Temple. And I'm excited for you to get that message in your heart. It's about this great company of women who proclaim the glad tidings, but it's about the mantles that God has for you. And I believe that you're going to receive impartation as you watch. Tonight, I want to share a message called, Who is this company of women? Who is this company of women that is arising in the earth? In Psalm 68:11, it says, Great is a company of women who proclaims the glad tidings. And you're going to be in that wave that comes up in this hour over the nations. In Hebrews 12, verse 22 to 24, I love Hebrews. I love the book of Hebrews. It's probably the deepest, richest book in the whole Bible. There's so much revelation in it. But it says, You have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to myriads of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant. It doesn't say this is what you're going to come to. He says this is what you have come to. In other words, when you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are connected to this kingdom realm. You have become a kingdom person, and you are one with the glories of heaven. You have the gift of eternal life inside of you. You didn't earn it. You can't produce it. It's just a gift that He gave to you when you believed in Jesus Christ, the Son. And therefore, you already are one with all the host of heaven. They've gone before us, but we're part of that kingdom. Amy Semple McPherson and other great women of God have gone on before us, but we are one in the Spirit with them. We are in the earth, they're in heaven, but we are one in the kingdom of God. And in Hebrews 12, verse 1 to 3, it says, Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, that's kind of, I remember as a young Christian reading that being a bit freaked out. I thought, so are they up there just hanging out of heaven, like watching everything that you do? And I was thinking of my grandmother, whom I loved. I got to lead her to the Lord on her deathbed, but I knew that she was in heaven. I thought, oh, is she seeing everything I'm doing? You know, like the good, the bad, and the ugly, you know? But it was, it's kind of an interesting thing when you think about it. If you know that you're being watched, you know, you live your life differently. And that's kind of what the writer of Hebrews is saying. He says, because there is so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus. We're going to always honor those who have gone before, but we're going to fix our eyes and our affection and our adoration on Jesus. We're not going to worship a person or an angel or anything. We're going to worship Jesus Christ and exalt Him. Amen. He is the author and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider Him who has endured such hostility by sinners against Himself, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. With what is coming, you're going to need some faith and some strength. I'll go into that in a little bit. But in Hebrews 11:39-40, I'll just allude to this again. It says, And all of these, having gained approval through their faith, speaking of these ones who have gone before us,
did not receive what was promised because God has provided something better for us so that apart from us, they would not be made perfect. And that word perfect there means to carry through completely, to accomplish, to finish, and to bring to an end. So they don't, it's just not finished until we take our place and step into what they didn't get to finish. We can carry on and finish. It was just over 10 years ago that I had a divine encounter, a God encounter. And in that encounter, he revealed to me some things about three apostolic women. And the first was Mariah Woodworth Eder. The second was Amy Semple McPherson. And the third was Catherine Kuhlman. And he gave me visions regarding some things about the mantles of these women and their call. And I never understood it for years. I just pondered it and wondered what was that about and what was the full reason and purpose for that. And some of you who have had revelations in the past and you've wondered, what does this mean and what does it mean to me? Keep seeking the Lord, because sometimes the interpretation and the understanding of it comes later. The seed is given to you and you need to ponder it and pray into it, but it's much later that it comes to you. But over the last couple of years, it's been coming really strong to me that the Lord was showing me these three apostolic women. They were all apostolic women. It started with Mariah Woodworth Eder, who was an inspiration to Amy Semple McPherson. And Catherine Kuhlman was really inspired by Amy Semple McPherson. So it was like all three of them were as one with their passion for the Lord, their love for the Lord, and their love for the kingdom of God and his power, preaching a gospel of power when really in those days, and the days that they lived, it wasn't a popular thing to be a woman in ministry. And they had family issues too. A lot of these women, they had tragedies in their homes and their personal lives, and yet the gifts and the calling of God were so strong and they were used so powerfully because they never gave up. They never gave up in the midst of everything that they faced. They were brave and they just continued on in God. And so when I was looking at these three women, I felt the Lord say they've not finished their mandate yet. They really can't without us. And they're waiting. They're waiting for us to take up the mantles. They're waiting for someone to take up the mantles. And I believe it's not going to be just an individual. It's going to be a whole company that take up these mantles. And in John 12:24, it says, lest a corn of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains by itself alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. So imagine what this would look like. What if there's a whole company of Amy Semple McPherson's? A whole company, not just another one like her, but a whole company that carry that anointing and that pick up that mantle. What if the whole world, nation upon nation after upon nation, is inundated with women of faith, of that childlike faith who believe God to do great things, and that presence and that power is released through a great company? A great company of women. What would that look like? And what about Mariah Woodworth Eder? The same thing. Catherine Kuhlman. We could name many. And God wants to give us this invitation. I felt him say, their mantles are in the earth waiting to be picked up. I believe Amy Semple's mantle is in this place. And so when I was studying mantles, it's really awesome because one of the definitions out of Strong's in the Hebrew, one of the definitions for mantle is glory, splendor, magnificence. Now think about that. The glory of the anointing, let's just say for Amy Semple McPherson, what God gave her, that glory of that, the weight of that, the kabod of that, being a mantle, you can clothe yourself in that. God's saying, do you want to pick up a mantle tonight? Do you want to be commissioned in the glory of that apostolic anointing? Would you like to be clothed in that? The glory, the splendor, the magnificence. In the dictionary definition, it says something that covers, envelops, or conceals. I love the concealing part. You know, because it just hides you. in Him. Amen? Inside of Him. And so God has given us an invitation. Tonight, the Spirit of God is commissioning. He's releasing mantles. And in 2 Kings, I'm just going to show you something. I know that many of you have probably, you know, unpacked this portion of Scripture. But in the light of what we're talking about, in the great company of women, I want to have a look at this tonight. In 2 Kings chapter 2 and verse 9 to 13. And it's about Elisha picking up Elijah's mantle. And I want to share a little bit on this because I want you to see some things, because there's a responsibility that we have when God is offering something. There's a response that we need to step into so that we can enjoy the benefit of what He is inviting us to. But it says in verse 9, when they had crossed over, Elijah said to Elisha, "Ask what I shall do for you before I am taken from you. Ask what I shall do for you before I am taken from you." And Elisha said, "Please let a double portion of your spirit be upon me." And he said, this is what Elijah said back to him, "You have asked a hard thing. You have asked a hard thing." Now, I don't think he said that to him because it was going to be so hard, saying, you know, "Oh man, Elisha, I don't know. That's going to be really hard for me to give you a double portion. You know, it's really going to be hard for me." I don't think that's what he meant. I think he was saying to Elisha, "You are asking to walk in something that is going to cost you. Do you really, really want this?" And in the study of Elisha, I love Elisha because he was such a servant, and he was so surrendered. I mean, he was a successful business person, and he gave it all up and, you know, just left everything to go and serve the prophet, to go and serve him. And we could say to leave everything to go and serve Jesus, right? He just left everything behind. And he was the water boy for Elijah, so to speak. And he watched Elijah confront the enemy. He watched Elijah go through a lot of things, a lot of harassments. I mean, Elijah, you know, he's confronting the prophets of Baal, and then he gets the counterattacks and everything. Elisha knew all of that. He saw all the struggles. Yes, he saw the miracles, but he saw the struggles. And he asked, he said, What do you want? What do you want as I'm taken from you? What do you want? Ask me, what do you want?" And he asked for the double portion. And it wasn't because, you know, sometimes we have, "I want a double portion of that mantle because I want to have all the miracles and the fun and the glitter and the glamour and the attention and everything that goes with it. Yeah, I want to be famous." And there's this celebrity mindset, even in the body of Christ, that has to be stomped on. We have to crush that thing. But Elisha wasn't asking for the double portion for that reason. It wasn't about him. Jezebel was still alive and kicking. She had to be taken out. There was things that had to be finished that Elijah had not completed yet. And so Elisha was asking for the double portion because he knew he needed it. And tonight the Lord is inviting you to ask for the double portion, not because you can say, "Wow, I've got a greater anointing than even Amy Semple McPherson." But you're asking for it because you know you need it. When we look at the issues in the world today, when we look at everything that is toppling around us, when we see so many people bound and hurting and enslaved by all kinds of things, when we see, you know, demonic strongholds in people's lives and over whole nations, and this whole terrorism, you know, rising up, and ISIS and everything around us, we must ask for this double portion. It's not for ourselves, it's for God's purposes in the earth, because those who have gone before us are not complete without us. Elisha saw what Elijah, his master, had accomplished. And he honored his master for that. It was all good. But he looked at what was yet to be done. And he said, "I can't do it without the double portion. And so I'm going to ask you for the double portion." And Elijah's response, I find so amazing. He says, you've asked a hard thing. Because he wanted Elisha to count the cost. To count the cost. He said, you've asked a hard thing. Do you understand what you're asking for? I hear people all the time saying, oh yeah, I want a big ministry. I want this, I want that. I thought, oh my gosh. If you want it for the Lord's purposes, it's so awesome. But be prepared to lose everything in yourself. As we're raised up to serve the Lord, it takes death within yourself. Die to everything. And I find that if you don't die, you get killed anyway, so you might as well do it yourself. Amen? Said, you've asked a hard thing. And then I love the next thing he says. He says, nevertheless, if you see me when I'm taken from you, if you see me when I'm taken from you, it shall be so for you. But if not, it shall not be so. And I was thinking about Jesus here because there's a parallel, isn't there? And Jesus was taken up into glory, but he had trained his disciples to see in the Spirit. He said, I'm sending you the Comforter. And when I'm taken from you, you still have to see me. Because I'm not gone. I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. And if you see me, you can have this. If you see me when it doesn't look like I'm there, if you can see me in your darkest hour, if you can see me in your biggest struggle, if you can see me in the midst of warfare, if you can see me when it doesn't feel like I'm there, then you can have this double portion. Jesus called it the greater things. He said, greater things shall you do because I go to the Father. But you have to see him. And when I had this encounter over 10 years ago, the Spirit of God spoke to me and he said, if you see it, you can have it. He said, what do you see in these women? What do you see of me in these women? What do you see that I have deposited in them and through them? What do you see? Because if you see it, you can have it. And there are a few things, even in Amy Semple McPherson's life, who are in this building because God drew us here, and he's highlighting his servant in this particular time. He wants us to learn some things from those who have gone before us. Again, we're not worshiping Amy, but we're drawing from the Lord what he's trying to teach us through this. And there's certain things that she walked in that he wants us to note, because he says, if you see it, you can have it. I did it for her and I can do it for you. I did it then and I can do it now. But he said, now you need a greater portion. You need a greater portion. Can you see me today in your life in the same way that you see that I was in her life? Can you see me even though she has gone on to glory? Can you see the mantle? Can you see the glory of what I did in and through her? Can you see the bigness of the effect? Can you see the legacy? Can you see it? Because if you see it, you can have it. You can have it. And some of you are going to get so visited by the Lord. But tonight there is a commissioning. So he said, as they were going along and talking, behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, which separated the two of them. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind to heaven. And Elisha saw and cried out, my father, the chariots of Israel and its horsemen. And he saw Elijah no more. And then he took hold of his own clothes and tore them in two pieces. And I believe if we're going to go for the greater mantles, you know, picking up mantles that are left here for us to get hold of so that we can have the double portion, the greater portion, that we have to recognize that we've got to lay ourselves down. We have to, you know, we have to tear our own clothes off of us. If we're going to wear a new anointing, if we're going to wear a new garment, there's prophecies tonight. Do not call to mind the former things. Don't look at the way I used to do it, because there's going to be some new things. And some of you, you just have to take off those old garments. And Elisha did that. He took off the old so that he could have the new. He took off that which was of himself. And then he did something. He took up the mantle of Elijah. He took it up. Now the Lord's spoken to us and he said, the mantle's here for you. The glory of what I did through Amy Semple McPherson years ago is here for you tonight. It's here for you. You see, mantles aren't needed in heaven. They're for the earth. That anointing is to be worked with in the earth. It's bringing the light into the darkness. It's working the power of God here. And he said, this mantle has been waiting for someone to take it up. It's here. Elijah's mantle fell. When he was being raised up, his mantle fell. And when it fell, it would have been just left there in the dirt if Elisha hadn't picked it up. Someone, is there anyone in this house tonight that is willing to take up the mantle? Is there anyone who's willing to say, yes, I will take it? I will take it for the glory of God, no matter what the cost, no matter what it costs me, I will take it. And believe me, it will cost you everything. It will. But the joy of serving Him, the joy of laying your life down for Him, I mean, it far surpasses anything that you lose. Because God plus nothing equals everything that you need. He took the mantle. Are you ready to take it? So he took it. And then he did something. He said he struck the waters. He used it. And said, where is the Lord, the God of Elijah? And when he had struck the waters, they were divided here and there. And Elisha crossed over. See, it's not enough just to have it. You have to work that mantle. I've heard people say, yeah, you know, the Lord showed me that I have the mantle of so-and-so, but I look at their lives and I don't see the results of it. It's not that they don't have it. They probably do. Maybe it's in their library on a wall or something. But that's not where it's going to do you any good. You have to take it and strike the waters with it. Change the nations. And I'm not talking about some religious exercise where we get up and say, oh, I'm the great woman of God for this hour. And, you know, let's just go for it. And, you know, I'm just going to show you the might of God. No, I'm just saying follow God in humility and with conviction and with love and respect for Him and for His glory. And He will show up. He will show up. Jesus said, in John 16:7, he says, but I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. You see, they saw him ascend. His disciples saw him. And they and he had told them, you stay in Jerusalem, tarry in Jerusalem until the power, until the mantle comes, the Spirit of God comes. And they did, and the Spirit of God came. And Jesus said, you will do greater works than I will do. You'll have a greater portion of works because I go to the Father. Because ones have gone on before us, we'll have a greater portion. It always works for increase in the kingdom of God. It's a kingdom of increase. And God wants you to know who you are, so I'm going to declare over you tonight who you are. This great company of women, who are they? Well, they're laid down worshipers and lovers of their bridegroom King, Jesus Christ. And this great company of women are going to be so in love with Jesus that they'll just do anything. That's who you are. You love Him so much that you say, Lord, I'll do anything for you. I know that this room is full of you. This is who you are. You're women and men who love the Lord so much, saying, I'll go anywhere, I'll do anything, I'll make any sacrifice, whatever it takes, because I'm in love. I'm in love with my bridegroom King. And when you have that perspective, it makes everything in the earth seem so pale, because you're looking of the eternal reward of this eternal relationship with your bridegroom. With your bridegroom king, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Savior of the world. It's like when you meditate on that and know that for all eternity, you're going to rule and reign with him. I mean, it is so outrageous, and it's what keeps you focused. It makes everything in the world and everything the world can offer you, it just looks like nothing in comparison.
Are you ready to receive your mantle? Are you ready to pick up all the power, all the anointing that God has for you? Because 2,000 years ago, Jesus made the way for you. You see, when he ascended up into heaven, he released the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is your mantle. And all the various gifts and operations and functions of the Spirit of God, he has given to you so that you can advance the kingdom of God. Why don't you open your heart right now? Just close your eyes right now. Open your heart and receive from God his mantle. Let him mantle you with his love. Let him mantle you with his power. Let him mantle you with his humility. You see, you were created for such a time as this. You were brought into the earth at this time to glorify God in power, giving the Lord all the praise and all the glory for what he is about to do. You see, all those mantles of these past leaders and evangelists and revivalists, they're still in the earth to be picked up because it's the Holy Spirit's power. It's his anointing. So pick it up right now and be determined within your spirit to move forward in God like never before. And perhaps you're watching this program right now and you've never received Jesus as your personal Savior. All you have to do is call on his name, saying, Jesus, I turn away from my life as it was and turn unto you. I ask you to forgive me of all my sin. I look unto you now to be my life, and I receive you as my Savior and Lord. Why don't you make that prayer today that Jesus would become your Lord and Savior? I'd like to meet with you online. Join me at patriciaking.com, and I'm going to see you next time. Be sure to tune in. God bless you.